What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are going to do another biblical counseling story on the topic of Ozempic. And you may remember our biblical counseling story from the spring. I walked through artificial intelligence chatbot therapy. Biblical counseling stories, it's where I'm kind of like a journalist and a biblical counselor all in one. So biblical counseling meets journalism meets Transformed. And I want to help research a topic for you, prevalent topics, cultural topics, while helping you frame those topics from a biblical worldview. So that's the goal. And Ozempic is that new topic. So I'll do a two-part series today and then next week. You may be wondering, okay, Dr. Gifford, what is Ozempic? When are we going to the Olympics? And are you going to be there? Okay, if you haven't heard of Ozempic, and I'm pretty confident most of you have heard of it up to this point, it's a shot that's used to help individuals regulate usually type 2 diabetes. So I'll get you the exact medical terminology here in a second, but it's a shot. Just think of a shot that's used for medicine that has multiple applications, but the primary focus was helping with blood sugars, digestion, heart disease, things like that. What it has become is really used for weight loss. So I tried to look up the prevalence of Ozempic, first of all. Who's using it? How much? Is there an increase in that? You know, like those types of questions. Well, the ever so unreliable CNN has said that 1 in 8 adults as of May 2024 are using Ozempic. 1 in 8 adults. It would be interesting. I have a couple of numbers on obesity that I hope to get to by the end of today's episode. But that is, those are primarily to do with heart disease or lowering blood sugar levels. So 1 in 8. That is increasing, by the way. Okay, so I don't trust CNN. You shouldn't either. So I tried to fact check even more. And Healthline confirms that number. It says 1 in 8, or about 13% of American adults, have used a GLP-1 agonist. That is what Ozempic is. It's a GLP-1 agonist. It is a class of drugs prescribed for weight loss to treat diabetes or to reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke in adults with heart disease, a new survey found. So it is possible that Healthline is just quoting CNN or CNN is quoting Healthline. But those were the most recent stats that I could find. And that is as of May 2024. So these are already dated over a year. It is on the increase, though. If these numbers are anywhere close, the use of Ozempic is on the increase. A national study was conducted by Michigan Medicine. And if you want to Google this, I would encourage you to fact check me. Google Michigan Medicine. Let me get you the exact website here. Young people are increasingly using Wegovy and Ozempic. And if you just Google Michigan Medicine and Ozempic, there's an article from May 2024 that talks about the prevalence of Ozempic, really this GLP-1 type of medicine. And what they found is that weight loss drugs, let me read to you from this article. Michigan Medicine shows that the use of these weight loss drugs is increasing rapidly in adolescents and young adults, 12 to 25 years, especially females. 12 to 25 years, and the weight loss drug is being used more by females. using 2020 to 2023 data from a national database representing 92% of pharmacies, the study team found a 594% increase in the monthly number of adolescents and young adults using Wegovy, Ozempic, and other glucagon-like peptide 1 receptor agonists. Boy, that's a mouthful. GLP-1s. 594% increased overall. So what they did is they go contact these pharmacies and they begin to study the demographic of people using these medications. Remember, if it's for an adolescent, most likely it's not related to heart disease, stroke, heart attack, whatever that is. Most likely it's exclusively for weight loss. So this is unfortunate, but this is what Michigan Medicine has said. The number of female adolescents 12 to 17 years using the GLP-1 RAs increased 588% compared with 504% for male adolescent. And the number of female young adults 18 to 25, so that next bracket just above, it increased much more by 659% compared with 481% for male young adults. Okay, I'm not a guy who believes that stats are always accurate. I think they can provide a pulse, but they're not something that you sell your house to believe in. So I wouldn't do that with Ozempic either. But anytime I've researched something, I just kind of want to know what's the prevalence and what do the general stats say. And as you begin to look at the general stats for these types of medications, they're on the rise. I mean, you can say that at least. They're on the rise, whether it's 594% or whether it's 659% or whether it's 1 in 7 and not 1 in 8. Like, we can just say, like, the prevalence of Ozempic is increasing. So let me try to explain what it is, and this will help you see why it's increasing a tad. Okay, you've probably talked with people at church. Maybe you've talked with folks in your youth group, or you have a friend who's diabetic and they're using Ozempic. But Ozempic is classified as a GLP-1, and that is glucagon-like peptide 1 agonist. And what that does is it helps lower blood sugar levels and promote weight loss, according to the Cleveland Clinic. They are most often injectable medications, meaning that you'll take this little weird shot thing. Unfortunately, needles, I'm not a huge fan of needles. Like, I don't black out with them, but if I can avoid a needle, I will avoid a needle. It's never associated with something positive, you know, like, oh man, chocolate and needles. So inject a liquid medication is what happens, and you do that just beneath your skin, in whatever fatty tissue part of your body. So I think most people just inject it in their side, something like that. I mean, some of you don't have any fat on your body, so you're like, where do I put this thing? It is impossible. But that's the way that it's applied. That's called a subcutaneous injection. Oh, be impressed. I probably mispronounced that, but subcutaneous injection. It is in its generic form, a semaglutide, that is Ozempic. So what it does practically is it helps trigger insulin release from your pancreas. And all of you out there with functioning pancreases say, amen, release the insulin. Insulin is an essential hormone that allows your body to use the food you eat for energy. It lowers the amount of glucose or sugar in your body. So if you don't have enough insulin, your blood sugar increases, leading to diabetes. So that's really its first purposes. And if you go to the Ozempic website, and this may be true for Wegovy, I didn't look at their website before writing this particular podcast. But if you go to Ozempic, their primary focus is diabetes, not weight loss. And they make that pretty overt. So triggering insulin, that's the first thing that it does. It blocks glucagon secretion. So glucagon is a hormone your body uses to raise your blood sugar levels when necessary. So GLP-1 prevents more glucose from going into your bloodstream. Number three. It slows stomach emptying. Well, that could be a great thing if I just had shrimp, because I love shrimp and I want it to stay around, but I don't want spaghetti to stay around. So get out of here. slower digestion means that your body releases less glucose. And it also means that you feel less hungry, you're full, or you can eat less because of slower digestion. So the final result, and this result is, it's starting to become the primary reason why people are taking these type of medications. It increases how full you feel after eating. So GLP-1 supposedly affects areas of your brain that process hunger and satiety, meaning how full you are. These do come from WebMD and the Cleveland Clinic. So you could kind of have a feel now for what we're talking about. What are we talking about with Ozempic? It was intended to help individuals with type 2 diabetes and heart disease. But now the final effects of slowing stomach emptying and increasing how full you feel, those are being mechanisms used to help a person lose weight. So kill the appetite, stop eating as much because you're full or you feel full, and then the natural result is that you do lose weight. Of course, your blood sugar and, of course, some of these other chemicals in your body that are being influenced, of course, those are impacting it. But this is the way that Ozempic is being used. So potentially 1 in 8 people, and potentially, and I'm not going to, again, sell my house for this data, but an increase among female adolescents who are using this for weight loss. So let me take a break. Bum, 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 bum. And we'll be right back with biblical counseling stories.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. Man, you know what's crazy? There are young girls, 12, 13 years old, giving themselves injections they can't even pronounce just because they're scared to take up space. I mean, what is going on in the world? This isn't just about body image. There's something deeper underneath all of this. This fear that if I want to belong, I got to change who I am no matter what it takes. That's not just a health issue. That's a worldview issue. That's why biblical counseling actually matters. It doesn't just throw out pills to dull the pain or just tape Bible verses over someone dealing with real shame. Biblical counseling walks with people, real people, and helps them see their struggle through a biblical lens. Doesn't downplay it, doesn't over-spiritualize it. It walks alongside them, showing them that God actually speaks into the stuff they're going through. And let me say this, if you've ever found yourself thinking, man, I want to do that. I want to do exactly what Dr. Gifford is doing. I want to be able to come alongside people and offer them biblical clarity. First of all, thank you. Because we need more biblical counselors in our churches. And if that is something that you are serious about, then I want to point you to the Master's University. Master's University has biblical counseling degrees that are rooted in the sufficiency of Scripture. Dr. Gifford himself is a professor of biblical counseling at the Master's University. You're going to get trained to rightly handle the word and shepherd real people with real struggles. And it all happens without chasing the cultural trends. Find out more right now by going to themasters.edu/transforms. And hey, if this podcast has helped shape how you think and how you live, would you consider helping us to keep it going? We're only able to make content like this because of people just like you who join us as gospel partners. We don't sell ads around here. We just ask people who have been blessed by this work to stand with us. And if you have been and you're already giving faithfully to your local church, then head on over to fortisinstitute.org. and see what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. But don't give to us if you're not already giving to your local church. Get that area of your life taken care of first. All right, now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, Jimmy, thank you. I need like a clicking talk noise, if you could insert that tick, 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 tick. And I'm going to do a Barbara Walters impression. Anybody remember her? Jacques Cousteau, like think of a journalist. Hi, I'm Barbara Walters. And this is Biblical Counseling Stories. I should probably pick a male name, honestly. Biblical Counseling Stories, we're just talking through cultural topics, biblical counseling analysis, presenting these popular cultural topics to you, and then a biblical worldview to help evaluate them. Today's episode, I've covered Ozempic. And Ozempic is, It was created for helping individuals with diabetes and heart disease, but now it's being used primarily for weight loss. And that last effect, how does it work per the Cleveland Clinic? Those last effects are it slows digestion and it increases how full you feel. So it's like if you just ate a meal, you're not hungry again. That sensation is partly how Ozempic works. Now, I don't think anybody knows the long-term results of this yet. It's a relatively new medicine. I don't think it was actually approved until the early 2000s, like 2005, 2006. And it hasn't become popular until the late 2019, 20. Even over the past 5 years, it's really become increasingly popular for weight loss. So I'm not sure if there's any long-term studies on that. And honestly, that's beyond the scope of this biblical counseling story anyways. But that is a question that we should be asking. If we're taking medication for an extended period of time, then what is the long-term effect on our body? But just to be clear, I mentioned this in the last segment, Ozempic has stated, while not for weight loss, this comes from the Ozempic.com website, Ozempic may help you lose some weight. And that is the balance because there, I would imagine Ozempic is trying to protect themselves from becoming a weight loss drug and saying, yes, this is a side effect that you may experience, but it is not the reason why you should take it in the first place. There are basically two or three top medications that's being used for this, Ozempic, Wegovy, and Mounjaro. And CNN said neither Ozempic nor Mounjaro is approved or are approved for weight loss specifically. The FDA greenlit them to treat type 2 diabetes in 2017 and 2022, respectively. They're not stated for that. Everyone knows that it's like taking an antidepressant to calm your nerves. You know, it's like taking an anti-anxiety, like the side effects, you're trying to manage your side effects, but it's not really treating the root of the issue. And so it seems like Ozempic or Wegovy or Mounjaro, that those are all medicines that are really about blood sugar and heart disease. And the potential side effect is that you're going to lose weight for that. But as the Michigan Medicine article suggests, the uses of it have spiked, and they have spiked not for type 2 diabetes, but for weight loss. That's an interesting fact. It has spiked not because of more heart disease in America, but it has spiked because of weight loss. Just a couple of other interesting details for you. I wondered how much does it cost? And this is probably not going to surprise you, but it is the most expensive in the U.S. Ozempic, it ranges for about $936 for a one-month supply, $936. Rybelsus is $936. Wegovy, which is an injection as well. So Rybelsus are tablets, and Wegovy is an injection. Wegovy is $1,349, and Mounjaro is $1,023. And this is per the health system tracker. The next nations using Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, the next nations listed are Japan, Canada, Switzerland. But it's seriously, it's not even close. In Japan, Ozempic's going for $169 as compared with $936. So Ozempic, it's definitely a cash cow. And one of, you know, I'm not a doomsdayer. You guys know that by now, hopefully. But I am usually skeptical of pharmaceutical meds where privatized medicine's making big money off of medicine. And so we want capitalism to reign for sure. But now we have financial incentives for this drug loss or this drug used for weight loss to be used. So people are paying and they're paying significant money to use this medication. So let me give you a couple of perspectives on this, and then I'll share an obesity stat with you. Pew Research, you know, they're generally pretty helpful. They began to poll Americans on what they think about GLP-1s. That's Ozempic, the Ozempics of the world. And Pew Research found that among those familiar with these drugs, 53% think they are good options to lose weight for people with obesity, or a weight-related health condition, while just 19% think they are not good options, and 28% say they're not sure. So this is, it's seen as being acceptable, a good option, and there's a group of people that are not sure, probably just for health-related concerns, but Pew doesn't say why. Pew Research found this, that on balance, Americans do not believe willpower alone is enough to lose weight and keep it off. About two-thirds, 65%, say willpower alone is usually not enough for people who are trying to lose weight and keep it off. By contrast, 34% think that willpower is usually enough for most people who are trying to lose weight. Those 34% are the ones in the gym right now. Everyone else is weak. Well, what Pew Research was showing is basically the majority of Americans, and this was conducted in America, say that you need help and that you have a medical issue and you can't just will yourself with kale chips and salads to losing the weight that you should lose. So that's interesting. I wondered like, hey, you know, because everyone talks about how America is obese, you know, we're made fun of for being obese. And so I Googled most obese countries and I was not totally surprised by these. This comes from worldobesity.org and it ranks countries by percentage of obesity. You could look through this and see that America is ranked number 10 on this list at 47.02% obesity. 41.64% obesity. So we're ranked at number 10 with 41.64%. Who is number one? American Samoa, and then Nauru, and then Tokelau, the Cook Islands, Niue, Tonga, Tuvalu, Samoa, French Polynesia, and then the United States. So it sounds like a lot of the Pacific Polynesian islands ranked very highly. And they will rank obesity and income levels here together. So before you're like, man, America's the most obese nation in the world, I would ask yourself that question. Is that true? And what research suggests that America is the most obese? Now, the perception is that Ozempic is a legitimate way to manage obesity. That is the American perception. So let me finish with just a couple of worldview prompts for you. As a Christian, is that biblical? Thinking that through, is that biblical? Do you just accept that wholesale, or is there a filter through which you need to run that? Ozempic is helpful for weight loss if ... What principles should frame the use of a weight loss drug? And, you know, this isn't the first application of a drug to lose weight or even the first diet. The first drink. I mean, like, honestly, you can't get far without seeing a GNC commercial or even restaurants now are boosting a product as helping your digestive tract and weight loss and blah, blah, blah. So there's this whole marketing underbelly to weight loss and eating healthy. What biblical principles should frame this? And before we all just jump on Ozempic or the Ozempics of the world, how should we think about that? Does the Bible say anything about weight loss or obesity? What does the Bible paint as true physical health? You know, and we're talking about a weight, a normative weight range. What does the Bible paint? And are there biblical principles for that? I think what you may be surprised to hear is that the Bible doesn't focus as much on the outer man as it does on the inner man. In fact, I'll show you in our next episode. When we talk about the Ozempics and the weight loss and nutrition and our 34-ounce Stanley cups and all of this, these nutritional principles, is it possible that we are putting too much of an emphasis on the outer person and not as much of an emphasis on the inner person? Is that possible? Here's a real teaser for you, hopefully to draw you back in next week. Is obesity a physical problem, or is it a spiritual problem? That's something to think through. Is obesity a spiritual problem, or is it a physical problem? And I am Barbara Walters, and you know, like, oh no, don't leave us there. I am going to leave you there, and I'm sorry to do it to you, but we're going to pick up Biblical Counseling Stories, Ozempic Part 2 next week, and I will continue to tie this together and help you think biblically about the Ozempics of the world. So let me pray for you, Lord. We want to love you well, to include loving you with our bodies, and for some of us, that includes using weight loss medication. So help us to approach this in a way that is, first of all, submitting ourselves to your word because we love you, and second of all, may you give us wisdom in interacting with those that are around us so we can be gracious and truthful and helpful, we pray. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.